All right, let's see what happened at Eagles practice today. See what's going to happen on Thursday and all the other stuff. Carson Wentz saying it's going to be close. I've never heard that before. Let's go to Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. Timmy!
Mike, I heard you're getting a little wobbly on this whole Wentz thing.
I'm a little wobbly because I had not heard the declaration come out of his mouth that it's going to be close. All I've heard was, hey, I'm going to be ready for game one, blah, 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 point to game one, the whole bit. I don't know. Am I reading into something?
I think so. I mean, the fact that he said that he's going to be ramping his workload back up next week, that's the plan, and doing 11-on-11 work again, I think is an encouraging sign. And what he said all along is that his goal is week one and that it's a fluid situation, but he's sticking to that goal. I mean, it's long been known that it's not just up to him. There's several people that have to kind of give the check mark, and Wentz clearly has given his. He looks the part. He looks really good. He's eager to get out there, but he still needs to get that kind of sign off from the medical staff. And that's really what he's saying. It's going to be close, and it's to be determined whether the medical staff clears him in time for that Atlantic.
Well, do you have any sense of how they're feeling about this? I mean, there's one side that says, let's be cautious. You can go 2-1 in the first three games of Nick Foles. No big deal. Or do you sense that they would like to see Carson be the starter in game one?
I mean, ideally, you want your franchise quarterback under center for as many games as possible. But I would definitely say that the signals that are sort of emitting from NovaCare is that we're going to be as cautious as we need to be with Carson Wentz, knowing that he is the future of this franchise and that he could set you up positively for the next decade. And if you mismanage him on the other end, you could really damage your chances of being championship caliber for both here and in the future. So they recognize that, and they're not going to do anything that goes against the doctor's wishes. But that's kind of different than the doctor's looking at it just kind of black and white and saying, you know what, you're good. And we just don't know when they're going to give that green light. You know, Wentz said that he's close to that they are close to giving that. But that it's going to be close to whether they give it in time for week one. So I really do feel like it's going to be kind of a down-to-the-wire situation.
Timmy, let me throw this at you because this is something I think you have to consider. A doctor who is now, like, he is the guy who determines whether Carson Wentz is going to play in game one. Now, wouldn't you think a doctor would be terrified to throw him out there in game one, knowing if he possibly got hurt, God forbid he gets hurt, that he's the guy who has to take the heat, rather than the conservative side is, he's not ready yet, let's wait a couple games. And then you have a built-in excuse as a doctor. Does it play into it at all?
I totally see where you're coming from, and I think organizationally there's got to be some of that as well, where if you are Jeffrey Lurie or Doug Peterson, and you end up saying, you know what, go ahead. And then he goes out there in week one and your worst nightmare comes true. Then, you know, the kind of backlash that you would get and just how you would be feeling about it. You know, certainly all of these things I think are kind of rumbling through their head. As it pertains to the doctor, I would hope that he wouldn't be swayed by what does this mean if I get it wrong. In other words, I would hope that the doctors are looking at these charts and whatever, the MRIs, and that it either says it's good or it says it's not good, and not be kind of swayed by outside influences or fear. And so, you know, I think that's why there's several people in place. The doctors just have to do the doctor's job. Wentz has to tell them how he's feeling. Mm-hmm. And then the owner ultimately has to make a decision on top of that, I think, which is, okay, I got these answers. Now am I ready to pull the trigger? And you know, that's why it's not an automatic thing. People are kind of talking like it's automatic. Wentz is back. Oh, he's back. Well, that's why it's not automatic, is because you have a lot of people, you have a lot on the line, and a lot of checks that have to get checked off before he actually goes out there.
All right, let's talk about another thing. What I think is a big story, it's been kind of like not talked about. This is Alshon Jeffrey and how he may start the season on the PUP list. What's the latest on this, and what do you think will happen here?
I would be surprised if he ends up on regular season PUP. That would mean that he wouldn't be able to play for the first 6 weeks of the season. Checking into it, I haven't heard any indicators that there's been something that has changed in Jeffrey's status. In fact, Mike, we were out on the practice field today, and for the first time that I remember, Jeffrey was on a separate field catching passes and running routes. That's something new that we hadn't seen previously this summer, which suggests that maybe there's some progress happening with him. you know, there's always been a chance that he was going to miss the regular season opener just because of the timeline and the recovery timetable for the rotator cuff surgery. But I think, you know, the idea of it stretching well into six weeks into the regular season, him not being able to play or practice, doesn't really seem to add up for me. So I'd be a little bit surprised if he ends up on the pop.
All right, the running back wars that is going on. Smallwood apparently has been impressing on special teams. That leaves probably Josh Adams on practice squad and Pumphrey out. Is that the way you see it?
The way that they have talked about Pumphrey doesn't make it sound like he's a lock. And I would say that on top of that, he's hurt now. And that's a tough thing when you're in a running back competition and you have these preseason games and practices that are so meaningful and not being able to be available. I think that it, you know, makes it more of an uphill climb for Pumphrey. I guess the good thing for him or any of these guys in the competition is that nobody has separated themselves. Josh Adams looks good, but then he gets hurt. And that's the status right now. He injured himself yesterday after having a solid practice. And Smallwood, he's getting pumped up by the coaches a little bit. And Doug Peterson pointed out that Dave Phipp has put him in a valuable spot in special teams, which you would think would bode somewhat well for him. But I think that we're not at the finish line yet when it comes to running back competition. I think the next three games will be pretty important for that.
Talking to Tim McManus, covering Eagles, ESPN.com. Tim, Thursday's game, does Foles start it?
Yes.
He does?
Yes.
Okay. Does Brady start it?
Apparently Brady's going to play.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Which would be cool.
Yes.
And Lane Johnson said the other day that he thinks the starters are going to play for a quarter and a half.
Okay. We get a bit better indication, see how things flow. Beautiful.
Yeah,
I like that.
Little taste. I don't know if that'll apply to Foles, and we'll see if he gets that full rep work or if they just give him a couple series. But yeah, Johnson believes the starters are playing for a quarter and a half, so that'd be good.
All right. Let's talk about the nickel. Last time I talked to you, it looked like Sidney Jones had that spot, and they were going to go with Darby and Mills. And now Avante Maddox is getting some reps and has been impressive. So what's going to happen in that spot?
The last three practices that we've seen, Avante Maddox has been in the slot with the first team, and that goes to show you that he's had a good camp, and also that in Jim Schwartz's mind, he's at least entertaining multiple looks, and you know, it has his options open as to who's going to fill that slot corner role. I guess it also could be said that Sidney Jones, since the preseason opener where he he got hurt a little bit, that he hasn't been running with the first team really, and also hasn't maybe looked as sharp as he did, or at least hasn't stood out maybe as much as we saw him before that preseason. So in the big picture, Mike, I think maybe it's a good problem to have that they do have some depth at corner. Mills and Darby have been stationary on the outside and have both been really impressive. It is important that they find out who's going to be that slot corner, but at least they have some depth along this cornerback line where they can, you know, they have some options at their disposal. But yeah, but Maddox has really looked the part for a rookie, certainly, has worked in there and certainly looks, at least to this point, let's see what happens in the game, but in a practice setting, looks like he belongs.
All right, finally, the signing of Christian Hackenberg, does that mean they're more comfortable with that quarterback on the practice squad than Joe Callahan?
I think so. I mean, that, you know, Callahan is kind of what he is, and I don't want to sell him short, but the chances of him developing into a guy that's going to be on your 53-man roster or a backup quarterback aren't that great. And maybe you could say the same thing about Hackenberg, but at least there's a little bit higher of a pedigree, I guess. And so they feel like if they can bring him in, and because he has practice squad eligibility, maybe they can put him on there, work with him for a whole season, and see if it bears any fruit. You know, they feel good about their coaching staff that they have in place. And also they feel good about the work that Hackenberg put in on his own time with a quarterback training coach. They did two-a-days starting in January. They did like 85 of them, really trying to improve his mechanics, try to get the feet right so they can get the upper body right, make a more of a compact delivery. They liked what they saw during the workout, so they figured give him a shot and see if he blossoms or not.
All right. So actually, there is one little other tidbit. Aguilar has missed some practices here. Now, does it mean nothing, or should we be a little worried about this?
But Peter, the way that Peterson put it is they basically have an eye on week one for him to try to get him right. It's been described as lower body, and they're being conservative.
What is this, hockey?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the way he's been all off season, man. I mean, he's given the hockey terms. So that's what we've had to work with, unless we ferret out a little bit more. They've been calling it lower body for Aguilar. I don't think it's anything to get too worried about. I mean, you would like to see with Jeffrey sidelined and Nelson Aguilar's been sidelined. You'd like to see these guys participating a little bit more so they can get rhythm with the quarterbacks. But, you know, big picture, it looks like Aguilar isn't in jeopardy of missing any kind of major time once the regular season rolls around.
All right. Sounds good. All right, Timmy, as usual, good stuff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, my friend.
There he is, Tim McManus.